Good morning. Today we begin an exciting summer series called Minor Prophets, Major Truths. What we're going to do in this series is look at what are called the Minor Prophets. They are the last 12 books of the Old Testament, and we're going to take a look into them. Now, they are not called Minor Prophets because they lack importance. They are called Minor Prophets because they are smaller in size compared to the larger prophetic writings of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel. Those four are called the Major Prophets, and these other 12 are the Minor Prophets. And again, it's not a lack of importance. Now, the Minor Prophets cover a period of roughly 400 years from about 845 BC to about 450 BC. The Minor Prophets cover this time period in Israel's history that starts after the split of the kingdom under David and Solomon, when the kingdom of Israel becomes the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. They prophesy through the time of the fall of Israel, the exile of Judah, Judah's a southern kingdom, and through the post-exile era. Now, contrary to how we sometimes think the Bible is laid out, it sometimes brings confusion into how we see the chronological timing event of things. And we tend to think that you have the major prophets and then you have the minor prophets. But in fact, that view is incorrect. These books all overlap and intersect with each other. Not all of them, but sections of them. So the minor prophets, these 12 minor prophets, also ministered at the same time as some of what I laid out to you before, the major prophets. So they're contemporaries of each other. Maybe this chart will help you see it. So if you look at this chart, you'll see how over the timeline, different prophets spoke at the same time as other prophets. They had different messages and they're contemporaries of each other. So again, the title of this series is Minor Prophets, Major Truths. We cannot do a deep dive into any of these books. That's not what we're attempting to do here. What I want to do over these summer weeks is introduce you to each of the minor prophets. So each week we will look at one and we will pick out a major truth from that prophetic writing. Some of them may have more than one major truth. We're going to pick out one, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to deal with it, because it feels like we don't really know the minor prophets, except, of course, for some guy named Jonah. Everybody seems to know Jonah's story, but we want to look at the other 11 as well and learn a major truth from each of the minor prophets this summer. So I alone will not be doing this. I'll be sharing this series this summer with some of our staff, and you'll be hearing from different people on different weeks. All right? So let's start this week with the very first book, and we're going to attempt to follow the books in the order that we find them in the Bible. So we turn our attention to Hosea. Hosea is a story of a broken vow, a broken home, a broken heart, and a broken life. It's really a sad story with a redemptive ending. And God uses Hosea's personal life as an illustration of Israel's relationship with Yahweh, Jehovah God. So let's pick up our story in Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And the Bible says this: "When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, 'Go, marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord.' So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son." The story opens with the prophet Hosea being given a rather difficult assignment by God. Hosea is told by God to go marry this woman named Gomer, but he's also told that they would have children. But God also says to Hosea that the woman he marries, the woman he gives his heart to, the woman he builds a family with, would eventually cheat on him and be unfaithful. And God, knowing that in advance, tells him, still go marry her. It's part of God's plan. So Hosea marries Gomer. The first chapter would tell us they have three children and they name them. And in the course of time, after the three children come, she betrays her husband's devotion and she leaves them. Now, can you imagine the gossip that must have been going on around their hometown of Samaria in Israel? I mean, I'm sure some people would have looked down on Hosea, say, how can you claim to be a holy man? How can you be a prophet and still end up with a woman like that? Hosea, what did you do wrong in your life that you brought such sin on yourself? Hosea, how could you lead our nation when you can't even speak into your own home? What a difficult time it must have been for Hosea. But I think these difficult lessons teach the prophet about the heart of God for his people. Hosea could understand how it must be hard for God, a holy, righteous God, to tolerate an unfaithful and sinful people like Israel. And although Gomer left Hosea's home and family, she never seems to have left his heart. Now, it's easy for us, almost 3,000 years later, to sit in judgment of Gomer or even Hosea, and we shouldn't. So let's not judge. I mean, I want to remind you that Gomer is a picture of the way you and I have acted towards God. There have been times when we've professed to belong to God, but we've acted like we didn't, just like Israel did, just like Gomer did. And despite the times that we have been unfaithful to God, God has still been faithful to us. And so that's the beginning of Hosea's story. And then we read more of it in Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We find these words, "The Lord said to me, 'Go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes.' So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley." So God says to Hosea, go, show your love to your wife again. See, like I mentioned earlier, Gomer has left her husband and her family. She has been loved by other men and she is called an adulteress. The picture is being painted here for us that not only has she been unfaithful to her husband, not only has she walked out on her family, not only has she broken the covenantal marriage relationship with her husband, she seems to have prostituted herself. And now she finds herself in an extremely difficult situation. God tells Hosea, rebuild your relationship with Gomer, your wife. He says, go. Show your love to your wife again, which gives us also the indication that Hosea has not stopped loving his wife despite what's going on. But here's another real twist for Hosea. Hosea has to buy her back. Consider the depth of what this means. This is his wife. They are legally married. They are covenantally bonded together. But Hosea has to go through extraordinary lengths to reestablish the marital relationship. So there's almost a picture in here that no matter where you might be in your life right now, if today you find yourself in a rocky situation and maybe your marriage relationship, all is not hopeless, all is not lost, that God can still redeem a horrible situation and make it better than ever before if you put your trust in him. Now, back to the story. We don't know how it became possible for Gomer to be in a position where she could be purchased. It's possible that she has fallen into some type of debt slavery, that she may have overextended herself and found herself in a place where she couldn't pay her debts, and some debtor took her as a slave in order for her to pay off her debt. We are not told the why, we are only told the result. But we know this, she was in deep trouble and she needed to be redeemed. She was in deep trouble and she needed to be loved. So Hosea comes to her rescue and he buys her back. Now realize, in the culture of that day, he would have probably originally paid a bride price to have married her. It means he would have paid her family whatever they demanded so that he had the right to marry her. And now we're told that he has to buy her back. I mean, he shouldn't have to buy her back. She is his wife. But he has to pay again. And we're told the price is 15 shekels of silver and a homer and lethek of barley. Now, we don't understand maybe what those mean, but it's about 6 ounces of silver and about 430 pounds of barley. I don't know why people would have 430 pounds of barley, but I guess he did. So Hosea effectively pays for Gomer, who is already his wife. And we read the rest of the story that we're going to look at today in verse 3, and it says this, "Then I told her, 'You are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way toward you.'" Hosea explains the rules of this renewed relationship. He will buy her back, but he will not buy her back as property. He had that right. He was buying her. And in those days, they could buy somebody's debt and get that slave till that debt is paid off. He's not buying her as property. He is purchasing her back so that he could restore her to the proper marital relationship. He outlines the path for this restoration of the marriage. She is to refrain from any relations with men that are not her husband, and she must remain faithful to him. And Hosea agrees to be bound by the same requirements, and he will stay faithful to her alone. Now, we look at that and say, well, that makes sense, and of course it doesn't, but he's laying out what it takes for a restored relationship. So as you see today, Hosea is an unusual story. And God uses the story of Hosea's marriage to speak to the nation of Israel. And God is saying to Israel, you are Gomer. See, God had chosen Israel to be his people way back through to Abraham. And he built them into a nation. He brought them into the promised land. And God said, the only stipulation I have for you, my people, is you will remain faithful to me, that I am your one and only God, and you are my people. But Israel committed adultery. Their adultery was the worship of false gods like Baal. God explains his love for Israel by telling Hosea to go and buy back his wife. That God is determined to win back Israel. That God will work in the life of Israel so that the people will once again turn their hearts back towards Jehovah God. Even though Israel's sin would eventually lead them into captivity in Assyria, the end result is that God would use Assyria to turn the people's hearts back to him. Now, not only does Hosea's story speak to Israel, Hosea serves as a picture and a warning to us today. See, we have been like Gomer. We have walked away from a relationship with God, or we have ignored God, or we have disobeyed the word of God, even though, you know, we think we could get away with it unnoticed. Nobody's going to know. God always knows. We have often chased after the things of this world rather than the things of God. We have made this world our priority rather than making God our priority. And despite all of that, God still loves us. In fact, God has bought us back. God paid the ultimate price for us because he loves us. He sent Jesus, his one and only Son, into this world. And Jesus came with the message of the Father's love. He came to show us the Father's love for us. And then Jesus sacrificed himself and he died on a cross and shed his blood so that you and I could have the forgiveness of our sins. God bought us with the blood of Jesus. And God wants a restored relationship with us. God not only paid this price for us, but God wants to renew us to a relationship of knowing him. God wants us to know him, to know his heart, and to love him. God requires that we remain faithful to him, that we do not become spiritually adulterous. The story of Hosea teaches us about God's love and the relationship that he wants to have with us. So Hosea teaches us a few things. One of them is this, that God's love never changes. See, God loves you in spite of where you have come from. God loves you in spite of your past. God loves you in spite of maybe some of the poor decisions you've made in the past. God loves you even when you mess up. God always loves you. There's this quote from Regina Brett. It says this, God loves you because of who God is, not because of anything you did or didn't do. That's powerful. God doesn't love you because of what you are. And God doesn't love you because of what you are able to do, even maybe you think for him. See, if God's love was conditional on your ability to live up to God's standards, you would always fall short. If you and I had to live in a way that was worthy of God, we would always fail. God's love for you is built in his promise to redeem all who come to him. If you come to God honestly, he will always welcome you and embrace you. See, God's love never changes. Another thing that the story tells us is that God's love never gives up. I mean, we looked at that in the story. The love of Hosea to his wife never died, never gave up. And God says, that's the picture of me. And sometimes I think we've been asking ourselves the wrong question. Sometimes in our hurt, sometimes in our pain, sometimes in our messes, we kind of look up to heaven and go, God, are you there? Of course he is. God is not gone. God is not lost. Usually, we're the ones who have stepped away. Usually, we're the ones who are lost. Usually, we are the ones who have wandered away from God's love. But God pursues us because we seem to always be running away from him. You see, God never gives up on you. Even in those times when you have doubted him, even in those times when you've run from him or ignored him, or even those times where you have purposely turned your back on him and purposely gone the other way, God never gave up on you. God is reaching out to you. See, God's love never changes. The third thing we learn in this story is God wants to renew a relationship with you. God goes out of his way to look for you. When you were at the lowest point of your life, God was there reaching out to you. God goes out of his way to pay the price for your sin. And God redeems you through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. See, God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants you to know him. God doesn't want to be a mystery to you. He doesn't want you to think that he's some far-off God and in some far-off place who really doesn't care about you. No, God wants you to know that he loves you and he cares for you. God has given us the Word, the Bible, so that we could learn about him and understand him. He has given us the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can come and teach us that when we read the Bible, when we read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit makes it come alive to us and we could learn about God. See, God wants the best for you, not by the world's standards. God wants the best for you by His standards, and God wants you for eternity with Him. See, God allows us this opportunity to learn a lesson from the hardship of Hosea's life. Now, let's be honest. Let's be honest. How many of you would willingly sign up for Hosea's assignment? Imagine, God says to him, marry this person, give them your heart, build a family and a life together, have dreams for a future. But God says, but before you do any of that, Hosea, know this. She's going to break your heart. She's going to cheat on you. She's going to run around with other men. She's going to tear apart your family and break up your home. But I still want you to do that. Now, if we're being honest, none of us would put up our hand and say, pick me, pick me, pick me. Yet that's exactly what God says to Hosea. Go and do this. God did it because Israel needed to see themselves in the picture of the unfaithful wife, Gomer. We need to see the picture of the unfaithful wife. God is saying that when we turn our hearts against God, we are being unfaithful wives. When we place the affections of life on something other than God, we are being an adulterous people. That when we refuse to accept the love of God the Father, we are being unfaithful. See, the beauty of this story is renewed relationship. The wife is redeemed. The relationship is restored. Unfaithfulness ends. Love grows. Renewed relationship. See, God is inviting every one of us into a renewed relationship. Maybe you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time. Maybe now for most of your life. Or maybe you're watching and listening and you're new to following Jesus. Maybe you've not realized that when you flirt with the things of this world, you are hurting the heart of God. Maybe you've been chasing after the wrong things in your life unawares. Maybe you've not realized that you've been cheating on God, that you've been unfaithful, and that hurts the heart of God. And God is giving us the story of Hosea and Gomer, and he's asking us as followers today to stop being unfaithful to him. That we need to live in a way that loves God. That we need to live in a way that serves God. That we need to live our lives in a manner that brings honor to God. So, if that's you today, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, a Christian, but now maybe you realize somehow, somewhere you have started to act unfaithfully towards God, you could turn that around today. You can decide that you are going to love God fully. You can decide today that you will no longer be unfaithful to God. Or maybe you're watching today and you've never made a decision to know God. You've never thought about the way God loves you, how he paid the price, how Jesus died for your forgiveness. I want you to know today could be the day where everything turns around. So as you're watching me and you don't yet know Jesus, I want you to know that it's really simple. All you need to do is accept that Jesus is who he said he is and believe that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and confess that Jesus needs to be your Savior and confess that you need the forgiveness of your sins and you can become a follower of Jesus. When you acknowledge that, when you believe in Jesus, when you confess your need of him, you begin to open up this relationship with God that we've been talking about, this renewed relationship. If that's you today and you want to start walking in a relationship with God, we at Highway, we want to help you and we want to make it easy for you to reach out to us. So if you pick up your phone and text us the word love, it's a keyword, text it to 416-267-1189. Follow the prompts that appear there and we will be back in touch with you because we would like nothing more. It would be our honor to walk with you and introduce you to God and begin a relationship with him, just like we've been talking about and seeing pictured for us in one of the minor prophets named Hosea. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today that we could come and begin to hear the stories of the minor prophets, the words that they spoke, the truth that mattered to them and to us. Lord, we thank you that you paid the price for us, that we are your sons and your daughters. We are your children, and you love us with an unending love, and you've never given up on us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Help us to love you back properly. Help us to remain faithful to you in all of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.